voted unanimously to impose an arms embargo and other sanctions on his regime. Today, the British government followed up, saying it's frozen Gaddafi's assets. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton says the U.S. is ready to assist Libyans seeking to oust Gaddafi. More than 100 Saudi academics and activists are calling on King Abdullah to enact reforms. In a statement posted online, they are calling for a constitutional monarchy in which the Saudi royal family would give up many powers. Meanwhile, the king continues to take steps to address rumblings of protest. Today, he ordered temporary government workers be offered permanent jobs. 50 people remain unaccounted for in Christchurch, New Zealand, after last week's earthquake devastated the city. Police say the death toll remains at 147. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners. The Obama administration is pressuring lenders to do more to prevent foreclosure with its Home Affordability and Stability Plan. If you own a home and you're having trouble making your payments or facing foreclosure, we can help. Call the National Mortgage Helpline at 800-590-6350. We now have the ability to stop foreclosure proceedings, forgive late payments and penalties, take your adjustable rate mortgage to a fixed rate, and reduce your mortgage payment to as low as 2%.
We were 3 months behind on our payment, and the National Mortgage Helpline was able to get our mortgage company to take the payments we were behind, put them on the back of our loan, and lower our interest rate. Now we have a payment we can afford.
Simply call 800-590-6350. Again, that's 800-590-6350. If you're having trouble paying your mortgage, call the National Mortgage Helpline today at 800-590-6350. You don't need equity or good credit. You just need to call 800-590-6350.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker says he's resolved to eliminate collective bargaining rights for most public employees, despite 2 weeks of protest in the state capitol. On NBC's Meet the Press, Walker says Wisconsin is broke and he needs flexibility to get the state's finances in order. Authorities plan to clear the Capitol building this afternoon to clean it after 13 days of 24-hour occupation. Germany says its air force has evacuated 132 people from Libyan desert in a secret military mission. The German foreign minister says two German military planes landed yesterday on a runway in the Libyan desert that belongs to a private German company. Military officials are warning people to be wary of scams targeting women on Facebook with phony profiles of soldiers. They say the impersonators steal photos of soldiers to set up profiles and profess their love and devotion in sappy messages. They then ask their victims to send money claiming they need it for special laptops and cell phones or papers to come home on leave. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
News reports say that the price of gas in the U.S. may go up to $4 or more a gallon. That's pretty scary news for the family budget. But when you consider that many parents in third world countries don't even know what they're going to feed their children tomorrow, it takes on a different perspective. Now there's a way to help solve both problems. Get on your computer and go to USAGoodness.com to get information on how you could start a home business to earn extra money in your spare time while providing food for starving children. Go to USAGoodness.com or call 800-301-6177.
Orbit One flight manager David Korth says tomorrow's spacewalkers have several jobs to accomplish.
There's an expansion connector we're going to make, J612. We're doing that before we berth the PMM module on flight day six, just because the connector places on the outside of node one, the airlock, are hard to get to.
Orbit One flight manager David Korth. A possible contender for the White House may be closer to throwing a hat into the ring. National correspondent Shirley Smith reports.
Republican officials have told the Associated Press that former House Speaker Newt Gingrich might soon announce intentions on a 2012 Republican presidential run. The sources say they didn't want to be named because they weren't authorized to disclose the plans, but they indicate Gingrich could take a formal step in the next couple of weeks that might make him the first of many potential contenders for President Barack Obama's job. The officials say an announcement is likely in the first half of March. Shirley Smith, Washington.
Girl Scouts are no longer able to sell their famous cookies outside the historic Savannah home of the woman who founded the organization almost a century ago. A complaint last year ended the longtime practice of selling the cookies outside the home of Juliet Gordon Lowe. Peddling on a public sidewalk violates city ordinance. The city's zoning administrator, Randolph Scott, says he investigated the matter and tried to find a solution. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Precious Watson.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You know, whenever there's an event or practice where people are utilizing animals, whether it is fighting them or racing them or using them as entertainment, you can be assured that there's more to the story than meets the eye. Even more than that, there's absolute genuine concealment of abuse and deception required to shield the public from the painful truth. Take, for instance, the thoroughbred horse racing, one of the most glamorous activities that people do with animals. If you listen to the show, you would know that the fate of these horses who fail to win is horrible. These horses do not go and live out their natural lives grazing because they have paid their dues on the racetrack. No, they get shipped to the slaughterhouse and get turned into food and product for consumption overseas. But you don't hear about that unless you really investigate or if you're really knowledgeable about what goes on behind the scenes in this highbrow activity. The horrors in these terrible practices are hidden, and the industry deceives us in believing everything is fine and the animals are loved and treated well. One industry in which this deception is breaking down is greyhound racing. A couple of decades ago, this was a very popular pastime with tracks all over the place. I mean, all over the country, and lots of people watching the dogs racing. But through the action of concerned dog and animal lovers and public information campaigns, almost all the tracks have closed. And this is a good thing because the greyhounds suffer great stress and abuse during their very short racing careers. There's deception and concealment of abuse at the circus, at the rodeo, in marine parks. Listeners of the show know we talk about all these things in detail, and each business has a well-defined structure to keep the customers coming and keep the general public ignorant and in the dark about the suffering the animals truly endure at the hands of their oppressors. As the host of the show and someone who hears a lot of stories about animals every day, I just come to expect with any of these practices involving animals, there's always a mechanism to shield the public from the truth. Next month is the yearly running of the Iditarod Sled Dog Race. This race is reported to show the true, noble, and strong character of the sled dogs and the endurance and skill of the mushers. So given what I just mentioned about what happens in other businesses and other business activities related to the animals, what do you think is happening behind the scenes in sled dog racing? Well, listeners, you have to know the truth, and we are very pleased to have with us on the show right now Marjorie Glickman. She's with Sled Dog Action Coalition, which is an all-volunteer organization that doesn't accept or solicit donations. Welcome to the program, Marjorie.
Thanks for having me on, Lori.
Marjorie, you are a retired teacher.
Yes,
and you became the director of the Sled Dog Action Coalition, and your website offers just a vast amount of information and facts about Iditarod and sled dogs. How did you get involved in this mission of advocating against the Iditarod?
Lori, I took a trip quite a few years ago with two of my children to Alaska. It was a vacation. And because I love dogs, I decided that I was going to see some Iditarod dog kennels. And I was absolutely appalled by what I saw. I saw hundreds of chain dogs that were tethered on very short chains, living in their own fecal material. Many of them had rusty tin cans that were nailed to the side of their dog houses that were used to hold water. One poor dog even had a hole in his watering can. Nobody seemed to care that when the water was poured in there, it would all leak out. Some of the dogs had dug huge holes all around their confined area, and it was just appalling. And after I got back to Miami, I decided that I needed to investigate more, and that's how I got started in advocating against the Iditarod.
And why don't you begin by telling my listeners what the Iditarod is?
As you have already told them, the Iditarod starts the first weekend in March. And in this race, the dogs are forced to run about 1,150 miles, and it's over a terribly grueling terrain. And they do this in 8 to 16 days. And I think that most people know that if dogs aren't forced, they don't run that far, and they don't run that fast. And
right.
The current speed records are less than half the time it took the mushers to run the first races in the early 1970s. And there's a reason for that, because the mushers get prize money if they get to a certain checkpoint faster than the others, and of course they get the big prizes when they cross the finish line in Nome. The mushers start the race with 16 dogs, and they must have at least 5 dogs at the end of the race. And they cannot replace any dogs that they've left at checkpoints, which means that the dogs left on the tow lines are pulling a heavier load. And, of course, heavy loads can do damage to the dogs. I'd like to point out that contrary to what the Iditarod officials claim, and some people in the media like the Associated Press and Reuters, that the Iditarod is not a commemoration of the delivery of serum from Anchorage to Nome in 1925. I'm referring here to the diphtheria serum delivery.
Yes.
That the Iditarod dog sled race does not replicate this delivery, and therefore the race has very little historical value. The race started with a lady named Dorothy Page, and she wanted to preserve mushing culture and to honor the memory of musher Leonard Sapala, who actually did participate in the serum delivery. And the race that she created was held in 2 heats of 25 miles each, which, of course, is a lot shorter than the 1,150 miles of our present-day Iditarod. The present-day Iditarod was created by Joe Reddington in 1973. People should know that half of the serum delivery was done by train, and the other half was done by dog teams who ran in relays, and no dog ran over 100 miles. It's also important to note that the race, part of the race goes over an entirely different course than the serum delivery went. And also, it's interesting that this year, for the very first time, that mushers are being allowed to use GPS devices, position wow. indicators, to keep track of where they are along the trail. And, of course, none of those devices existed in 1925 when the serum was delivered to Nome.
I want to repeat a couple things to my listeners because I just find it incredible. As you were talking, I did a quick calculation, Marjorie, because at the beginning of the interview you mentioned that the dogs are forced to run 1,150 miles over grueling terrain in 8 to 16 days. And I did a quick calculation here. That means these dogs are forced to run at least 71 miles per day and as much as 143 miles per day. I want to put that in perspective. That's incredible to me. I mean, when do they have time to rest or sleep or eat?
They have very little time to rest.
And
very
you also mentioned
to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, and you also mentioned the this is the first year mushers are allowed to use the GPS position indicators to keep track of where they are along the trail. It's so incredible. It's like a race car driver forcing his car to race as fast as he can at ever-increasing speeds in order to win. These animals cannot be viewed as living, sentient beings by these mushers.
Well, they're not. They actually, in one burrow, the Matsu Burrow, in the Willow area of Alaska, which is a hotbed of different mushers having kennels, that there is a law there that says that sled dogs are livestock. And up there they think that they can treat livestock however they want. And actually,
wow.
Mushers can basically treat the dogs however they want because they're exempt from Alaska's animal cruelty laws.
Wow. Marjorie, we've got to take a quick commercial break. Let's talk about what happens to these dogs during the race. When we return, we are speaking with Marjorie Glickman. She's with Sled Dog Action Coalition. This is an all-volunteer organization. Doesn't accept or solicit donations. It's really a great website. You got to check it out. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Thanks for tuning in.
Happiness is measured out in miles. What makes you think you're something?
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Geico has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, Geico could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, Geico has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call Geico for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
So, Lisa, mucus, what brings you to counseling?
Sinus congestion.
And she blames me.
You are mucus.
Well, did you ever think it's swelling due to nasal inflammation?
I assumed.
Yeah, there she goes.
Mucus, please. It's more constructive to offer a solution.
Okay. New Advil Congestion Relief. It treats the real problem of sinus congestion with the strength of Advil and an effective decongestant.
Everyone feel better?
Much.
New Advil Congestion Relief, the right sinus medicine for the real problem. Use as directed.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior. But for some reason, you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of The Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how The Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that The Total Transformation program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We are speaking with Marjorie Glickman. She's the director of Sled Dog Action Coalition, whose mission is really to advocate against the Iditarod race, which is the first weekend in March. That's coming up. Marjorie, let's talk about what happens to these dogs during the race, because you hear and read that the mushers claim that the dogs just love to run and they are so well cared for.
Well, that's not true. What happens to the dogs during the race includes death. They die, paralysis, frostbite of the penis and scrotum, bleeding ulcers, bloody diarrhea, lung damage, pneumonia, ruptured disc, spiral diseases, broken bones, torn muscles and tendons. And that's the short list. At least 142 dogs have died in the race. There's no record for the dog deaths in the race's early years. The Iditarod administrators claim that they don't have these records. And there's no record of how many dogs died during training or after the race. Your listeners may be interested to know that dogs have been kicked and shot to death by their own mushers. They've frozen to death, drowned. They've been killed by snow machines and moose. They've died from ulcers, heart failure, pneumonia, eating contaminated food, and exertional myopathy, which some people call sudden death syndrome. That's a condition in which a dog's muscles and organs deteriorate. They've also died from strangulation, internal hemorrhaging, and liver injury. And sometimes the Iditarod won't reveal how a dog died. I want to address for a minute two Iditarod winners. One was Jerry Riley, who was the 1976 Iditarod winner. He was accused of striking his dog with a snow hook. The dog died. And in 1996, another Iditarod winner, Rick Swenson's dogs died while he mushed his team through waist-deep water and ice. And originally, the Iditarod banned these two mushers from racing. They wanted to show that they cared about the dogs and they didn't tolerate abuse. Eventually.
Marjorie, you mentioned earlier that mushers are exempt from the animal cruelty laws that exist there?
Yeah, but I just want to say, Lori, that the Iditarod revoked those bans. They banned these animals, these mushers for cruelty, and then they allowed them to race again.
That's incredible. Marjorie, are there veterinarians on duty during these races?
Yes, there are. There are veterinarians who are there during the race. They're not always at every checkpoint, in part that depends upon the weather. If there's bad weather, they can't get the veterinarians to the checkpoints. But they have 35 vets on staff, which includes five rookies. But this is inadequate because there are 24 checkpoints and as many as 1,000 dogs that arrive at these checkpoints at all hours of the day and night. And unfortunately, the Iditarod allows the mushers to breeze through the checkpoints. All they have to do is sign their name in a book. The dogs get a brief visual check, if that. And the Iditarod does not require that the vets give the dogs physicals.
Marjorie, the vet recommends, though, that a dog be dropped from the race because there's obvious injury or some illness that would really just kill the dog. Is the dog dropped from the race and treated?
No, the musher is not required to drop the dog. And sometimes, in fact, the veterinarians are real enablers of abuse. If a dog is sick, they'll give the dogs antibiotics to keep them racing. They'll put some wraps on their legs so that they'll keep racing. They're not there devoted to the dogs.
Do mushers use whips in the race?
In the Iditarod, there's no ban on the use of whips. And the Sled Dog Action Coalition website, there are quotes about mushers beating their dogs. One Iditarod champion suggested that the mushers carry a cattle prod with them to use on the dogs. And recently, wow. Ramey Brooks, a musher, was witnessed in a small little town beating his dogs with a ski pole and chain. And they beat their dog, and mushers have even bitten their dogs in the ears to get them to run, and that includes Steve Fawcett, the famous adventurer. He admitted that in a book he wrote.
Yeah, and these are people that claim they love their dogs. Marjorie, do we know what percentage of dogs who start the race make it across the finish line?
I would say it would be about 50%.
What, you mentioned a few methods of training, but why don't you repeat or expand on what sort of methods are used to train these dogs to race?
Well, the training basically is very arduous. The dogs are hooked up to exercise wheels, and they run interminable laps on these exercise wheels, and if the dogs can't keep up, those who are in pain, they don't have a way of signaling that they want to stop and are dragged along. Very recently, musher Martin Bucer got the treadmill that was used for an elephant at the Alaska Zoo, and now he has this treadmill, and he uses this to train his dogs. He hooks his dogs up to this treadmill, and they can run for an interminable length of time on this treadmill till they drop. They're also forced to pull ATVs, and in some cases, the dogs have been made to pull trucks. And as I said before, the dogs can become injured when they pull very heavy loads. And they've been killed during training runs and terribly injured.
What sort of problems or medical conditions do these dogs end up with after the race?
Well, some of it we don't know about because there's no reporting, but certainly the stress of racing 1,000-plus miles puts the dogs in a position. It sets them up to get sick weeks to months down the road, and some of them may have caught diseases on the trail that won't become full-blown till they're back in their kennels. But studies have shown that 81% of the dogs who finish the race have lung damage, and that another study found that the lung damage is persistent.
And I read a study, according to the January-February 2010 Journal of Veterinary Internal Medicine, dogs running in the Iditarod have substantially decreased numbers of antibodies in their system, which obviously without an adequate number of antibodies, a dog can't fight off infections.
Exactly. And so the whole race, many miles that they have to run, just sets them up for being sick. And in addition to that, they found that dogs who race as few as 260 miles have cortisol levels that are elevated as much as 900%. As most people know, that cortisol is a major stress hormone that's released from the adrenal glands. Yeah.
Right, and it decreases dogs' immune system and their ability to really fight off disease. It just really deteriorates the the overall health of the dogs. Marjorie, we've got to take another break. Stay with us. We're talking to Marjorie Glickman. She is with Sled Dog Action Coalition. You're listening to Animals Today.
Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Your mother always told you to say no to peer pressure. So when you hear how 4 million drivers switched to GEICO last year, you aren't swayed. Then again, those 4 million drivers probably saved hundreds by switching to the nation's third largest car insurance company. Maybe your mother was wrong. Maybe you could have joined that hippie commune in Montana. Or maybe you could save money by switching to GEICO today.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
So, Lisa, mucus, what brings you to counseling?
Sinus congestion.
And she blames me.
You are mucus.
Well, did you ever think it's swelling due to nasal inflammation?
I assumed.
Yeah, there she goes.
Mucus, please. It's more constructive to offer a solution.
Okay. New Advil Congestion Relief. It treats the real problem of sinus congestion with the strength of Advil and an effective decongestant.
Everyone feel better?
Much.
New Advil Congestion Relief, the right sinus medicine for the real problem. Use as directed.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-630-9709, because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-630-9709. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-630-9709. That's 1-800-630-9709.
Attention, if you're attempting to lose weight, please stay tuned for an important opportunity. In a 6-month clinical study, participants lost an average of 30 pounds without changing their eating habits or routine. Now, Sensa is conducting a market trial in this listening area. If you're trying to lose weight, you are eligible to try Sensa free for 30 days. Call 1-800-714-6892 now to request your free trial. Participation in this free trial does not require any dieting, pills, or change in lifestyle. In fact, we only ask that you continue your current eating habits. Just use clinically proven Sensa, the same weight loss breakthrough you've seen on Extra, Dateline NBC, and America's Newsroom. Results are guaranteed. If you want to lose weight, you are eligible to participate in this market trial. Senza has not yet been released to stores, so for your 30-day free trial, you must call this number now. 1-800-714-6892. That's 1-800-714-6892.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking to Marjorie Glickman with Sled Dog Action Coalition. She's talking about the cruelties involved in the Iditarod race and the horrible things that occur to these beautiful sled dogs. Marjorie, describe the living conditions of the dogs when they are not in the race. What is life like for them? Are they treated as pets, loved by their mushers?
Oh, not at all. Many of these mushers have 100 or more dogs in their kennels. And if a dog is unwanted for any reason, the dogs are routinely shot in the head. Some of them are dragged to death, clubbed to death, or drowned. And the bullet is expensive, so clubbing and drowning are a lot cheaper. And it's been reported that dogs who don't make the main Iditarod teams are never taken off their chains. And these are really short chains that are about 4 to 5 feet long, and the dogs are all fecal material. And they have no interaction with other dogs. And you might imagine that they have very little interaction with humans. There's no bonding taking place. When you have so many dogs and you have dog handlers who have to take care of a lot of dogs. And
you mentioned earlier when you took your two kids up to Alaska because you thought you were doing a good thing, you love dogs, you want to see these Iditarods, and you were just appalled by what you saw, and you saw the dogs being hundreds of dogs being tethered on 4 or 5 foot chains and living in their own fecal matter. When people go on these tours to the tour locations to see these dogs. Are these all the dogs they have, or do they keep an additional dog somewhere else, like puppy mills?
It's customary that when people go on a tour that they'll only see a small number of the dogs that the sled dog tour operator actually has. Most of them, many of them, have large kennels elsewhere. And people should know that some of these tour operators are Iditarod mushers, or they are retired Iditarod mushers, and that these dogs that they see, many of them have had really terrible lives.
And you also mentioned that the mushers are exempt from animal cruelty laws, which I can't even fathom what that would be. Are they? Is there a limit, though, to how many dogs they're allowed to have?
No. There's no limit. They can have as many dogs as they want. Joe Reddington, the father of the Iditarod, said that he had 500-plus dogs.
And we mentioned a procedure on the show a couple months ago that is very cruel. Horrible procedure done, mutilating procedure done to dogs called devocalization, which is really cutting vocal cords. Do the mushers do that to their dogs?
Yes, they do. And part of the reason is when they have these huge kennels and the dogs are barking and the noise is heard, then even people far away can hear the barking and they complain. So a lot of the mushers do debark dogs, which is terrible. First of all, that debarked dogs are prone to aspirate their own digestive juices. And dogs, when they're running intensely, aspirate their own digestive juices. So it's kind of like a double whammy, two reasons for them to aspirate. And then lots of them inhale the vomit or their digestive juices. And that the debarking creates scar tissue, which then makes it more difficult for the dogs to breathe, which makes it harder for the dogs to get air in when they're running so hard. And on top
Marjorie,
of that,
there's a different... sorry to interrupt you in the interest of time. There's a different element of sled dog business, and that is to provide tourists with a chance to ride a sled behind dogs. Is that practice related to the Iditarod race, and do you have any objections to that form of entertainment?
Well, as I said before, a lot of Iditarod mushers tout to tourists that this such and such a dog ran in the Iditarod, that they're an Iditarod musher, and they hope that attracts people to their tour businesses, both riding on a sled and also just coming to see the kennels that they have. And I do object to these businesses because at the end of the day, you have to be aware that these dogs are treated cruelly, and I personally think that these tour businesses should be boycotted.
Absolutely. A couple weeks ago in the news, Marjorie, was this horrible story of, I think it was 100 dogs being killed by an employee of a sled dog operation.
Yes.
What could possibly lead to such a horrible massacre?
Well, part of it is that every dog is another mouth to feed. And it's all about money. And from what I understand, that the owners told this gentleman, Bob Fawcett, that he needed to kill these dogs. And some of them he wounded but didn't kill. There was one dog, Susie, that he shot her in the left side of her cheek. He blew it off, and her eye was hanging out, and she was still running around, and he couldn't catch her, and so finally he had to get a gun with a scope and shoot her. Other dogs, he got behind their throats, got behind them, and he slit their throats, and he let them bleed to death. Another dog, he said that he had shot and thrown into the pit with the other dead dogs, which is, by the way, a common thing that Iditarod mushers do. But
and nothing happened to this guy. No consequences.
No, as a matter of fact, he claimed that he had suffered emotionally from doing this, and he's on some type of disability now. He's getting payments from the Canadian
poor baby.
Government.
Right. So taxpayers can pay for him. And Marjorie, how can we help? What can we do to help these dogs?
I encourage everybody to educate their friends, neighbors, coworkers about the cruelties of the Iditarod. And if they ever hear of a school promoting the race, to please go and speak to the principal and educate the principal and the superintendent of their school district, because many states have humane education laws and promoting the race violates the laws. And I also encourage them to visit the Sled Dog Action Coalition website, which is helpsleddogs.org, and to look on the upper left-hand portion of the homepage where it says how you can help. And they will eventually come to email links for sending protest letters to Iditarod supporters. And people should notice that there are email blocks at the bottom of the page, and there's also a sample letter that they can feel free to use.
Sled Dog Action Coalition, that's the website, helpsleddogs.org.
Correct.
Protest letters to Iditarod supporters, educate others. Marjorie Glickman with Sled Dog Action Coalition, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate your helping the dogs.
Thank you. Peter, horrible to learn, isn't it?
Extremely, and the size of it and it's just overwhelming.
Yeah. I don't know if people know this exists. I know most people know about the Iditarod or have at least heard about it in Alaska, but do they really know this? They just think it's a form of entertainment.
It is glamorized. And just as you were mentioning at the onset of this show, there is this effort to make it seem glamorous and sort of wholesome.
Yeah, and you go on like these Alaska tours and you have these options to go on sled dog races and you think it's fun and you think the dogs are having fun. It's just so deceiving, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the line.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Well, I'm glad you could join us on Animals Today. Don't go away. We have Peter and the news, and I always welcome your comments about the show. You can contact me by logging on to animalstoday.com or email me directly at Dr. Lori, that's D-R-L-O-R-I, at animalstodayradio.com. Animals Today is sponsored by Desert Paws. Check out their website, www.desertpaws.org. And I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today. Don't go away. Peter and the news.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does 10 $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, Foot Traffic Marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-441-6994. 1-800-441-6994. 1-800-441-6994.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does a rolling stone gather no moss? No moss. You're gonna have to trust me on this one.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Welcome back to the show. Peter, what's going on in the news?
In Baltimore, the city prosecutor has been called to investigate Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And the claim there is that the school is using live animals to train their surgeons in an illegal way.
What is the deal? What kind of animals?
Oh, they are using, I think, guinea pigs.
Okay.
A husband and wife team who are graduates of the university have teamed up with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. They're saying the practice violates the state's animal cruelty law because it is causing the students to unnecessarily inflict suffering or pain on an animal, and that the university doesn't have an exemption to this.
What possible benefit could these students get from operating or cutting open guinea pigs?
Well, you know, the response is that the students learn to tie and cut their sutures and tie knots better on live tissue compared to other things.
Okay, well, we're both surgeons. We didn't need to do that to learn to tie and cut and pass sutures, correct?
No, it really was not necessary.
This is so senseless to me.
Yeah. Well, the fight goes on, and there are other states that are being looked at, but this one is the hottest one in the news there.
Good.
So we'll see what happens with that. I'll let you know how that gets resolved. Remember the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Yeah.
We've talked to them.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah. At the University of Michigan, there was an interesting protest when the president of the university, Mary Sue Coleman, she was to receive an award in social justice from the local chapter of the Federal Bar Association. Well, some PETA protesters appeared, and they were concerned that the other parts of the university were using live animals in trauma training. So they didn't see why the people interested in social justice ought to get an award when their colleagues were doing training on live animals. And of course, the trainees say it's the only way to learn the advanced procedures necessary in this trauma exercises.
Well, I agree with PETA. What can I say?
Well, other sort of disappointing news, the Canadian seal hunt is about to start again.
Oh, no.
It goes on. As you know how this works, we've talked about this on the show, the gray seals and the little pups are shot or clubbed for their pelts. And this year, the quota actually has been raised to 60,000 per year from 50,000 because the population actually has grown. And even though there's a European Union ban on the seal products, there are other markets that are being developed for this products.
Oh, that's so horrible. That's so horrible. If you ever seen the videos of the poor pups being clubbed to death with the ice stained with blood, it's just a horrible sight.
It is.
It's so brutal.
The fisheries minister of Canada announced a new deal with China to allow importation of meat and oil from the seals. And they are hopeful that this will restore Canadians' market in this industry.
Yeah, I always encourage people, send letters to Stephen Harper, Prime Minister up there, and also remind my listeners, Peter, about the snow crab, what people can do to really get the fishermen in the pocketbook.
Yeah, these hunters, when they're not killing the seals, they are fishermen, and they work in the North Atlantic, and snow crab is one of their big items, and they sell that to markets and to restaurants. And so by boycotting specifically snow crab, if you're inclined to eat that otherwise, then you can really affect their what they're doing the rest of the year.
Don't eat snow crab.
A new film by the famous filmmakers Derek and Beverly Joubert is called Last Lions, The Last Lions, and that's just opened in the United States. And it's receiving great reviews, but tells the sad story of the shrinking African lion population. Used to be 450,000. Now it's down to 20 to 50,000. So look out for that, the Last Lions documentary. It's one, according to New York Times, one of the most urgent and certainly among the most beautifully shot documentaries to hit the big screen in recent memory.
Wow.
This, if you don't remember, this filmmaker duo is really one of the stars in modern filmmaking about animals and environment, and they received accolades from Chris Palmer.
Who wrote Shooting in the Wild.
Yeah.
I love that book.
And Chris points to them as one of the leaders in the field, and we tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
So look out for that new movie, The Last Lions. Hoarding story of the day in Long Island, New York. Suffolk County police